Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Look, today's topic is hedge funds, and really the subtitle being, do they really add value? The whole premise with hedge funds is they've had, you know, the claim that they have an ability to make money in rising and falling markets. And I think, you know, various members of the audience, I think, will have differing views on whether that's occurred or not occurred. So what we want to do today is bore down a little bit into the various strategies and sub sort of investment styles in the hedge fund universe, and really look at whether that's been the case or otherwise. You know, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what's add value, and where do we see this going forward? Where do we see the value going forward in this marketplace? I suspect most of you aren't overly familiar with Man Investments. If I can move the slide forward. Disclaimers, we'll move forward through that. I'm not getting much traction on this.
I was doing it just moving the arrow.
Fine. Okay, so as I said, I suspect most of you aren't overly familiar with the group. Most of our products haven't made their way down to Australia, with the exception of the RMIP funds, which some of you may know. We've been bringing them out in this market for the last 11 years. But in terms of the group, globally we're one of the leading providers of alternative investments, but more specifically, really wholly focused as an operation on that hedge fund universe. In terms of a company, the group had its origin some 225 years ago as a commodity trading house. I think more recently, or currently, we're a financial services operation, we're a public company, we're a constituent of the FTSE 100 in the UK. In terms of our size, in terms of market cap, we're around about 20 billion US, which in terms of local comparisons makes us significantly bigger than either Macquarie or AMP to give it a sort of a local flavour. In terms of the hedge fund universe, or the alternative investment universe, we're managing about 80 billion US, as I said, which makes us one of the largest operations globally. So we have some 1,600 employees, across 16 offices in some 13 countries. In terms of our business, we run three quite large fund of hedge fund operations. The largest of those is RMF, which is where Adrian Gamour hails. RMF is based in Switzerland. Adrian is Swiss, you'll pick up from his accent. But in terms of Adrian's background, who's our key speaker, he's been operating in the hedge fund industry for the last 12 years, so he began in 1996. His career began in Switzerland, but then he moved to New York, ran RMF's New York office, subsequently moved to Tokyo, and currently heads up RMF's Asian operation based in Singapore. So RMF, or Adrian, brings to the table a wealth of experience in this industry, and a wealth of experience to the forum. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you all to welcome Adrian Gamour.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Sam, for the kind introduction. I think the part that Sam didn't mention is that somehow I was really meant to work in hedge funds. If you look at my past track record, I moved to New York in 2000 and the market crashed. I moved to Japan in 2004, again, the market collapsed. And last year I moved to Singapore and finally emerging markets also started to crash. So one way or another, I'm really meant to be in this field, and I've been very happy to be a part of the alternative investment industry for the last 12 years. I think today we really want to look into whether hedge funds and fund of hedge funds add value to portfolios. And I think there's been a strong development, strong money flows into hedge funds, primarily led by U.S. investors that have been used to this investment class for the last 10, 15 years or so, whereas the rest of the world still seems to be a little bit skeptical as to what exactly the added value is of hedge funds and fund of hedge funds portfolio. So today we would like to have a closer look at that and give you some proof of evidence that actually hedge funds do add value and fund of hedge funds do add value to traditional portfolios. So in order to figure out whether hedge funds and fund of funds do add value, we need a reference point. And what we've created is this, what I'm told, a typical Australian reference portfolio in the 70-30 growth defensive type of scheme. So we're going to use this as a reference point to compare hedge fund returns. In terms of, I think what a lot of investors or what the broad audience tends to forget is that usually hedge funds are always thrown in the same bucket. And what people tend to forget is that actually there's a number of very different hedge fund styles that have very different characteristics in terms of risk and return, and also have very different return drivers. So I would just broadly like to speak about those five different styles, because these are really the hedge fund styles, or the names we're going to talk about quite extensively in the next 30 minutes or so. So we have on one hand, on the left-hand side, we have a relative value, which is really has the lowest risk and return type of profile. A lot of fund of hedge funds have significant allocations in this space, because it really acts very well as a portfolio stabilizer. And I think you could also refer to these type of strategies as arbitrage strategies. I think that's the most simple description you can give. And when I entered the industry something like 15 years ago, the definition of arbitrage was really that you could buy stocks, let's say, on the Sydney Stock Exchange, at the same time sell them on another stock exchange, if Australia had different stock markets, and make an instantaneous profit. And I think the markets have moved on quite a bit. The markets have become much more sophisticated the last 15 years or so. And so today you cannot make arbitrage profits that easily anymore. But I think the example that probably comes closest to it today is the, especially in Australia, I have a lot of companies that also list overseas in London. And so you can actually do this arbitrage as well. Between the local shares and the ADRs or GDRs that may be listed overseas. More sophisticated forums really include trying to find inefficiencies along the yield curves of the bond markets and so on. So that space, relative value, really exhibiting a low risk reward or the lowest risk and still offering or generating quite a decent return. In terms of event-driven, that's the next style, a little bit of a higher return, also a little bit of a higher volatility. And here, very clearly, trades that are initiated have a very clear catalyst, and the catalyst is very often an event. In the event-driven space, we have primarily two different main strategies. One is called special situations. The most classic example of special situations trades is merger arbitrage. So if you have a merger announcement, you actually go long the acquirer. You go long the target, and you short the shares of the acquiring company. And as the merger progresses and concludes, you can make money based on the merger spread. The second type of strategies we have in event-driven is actually distressed securities. It's a area that is very cyclical, because it moves, the opportunities in that space move with the default rate, and the default rate has been going up and down very, very strongly over the last 15 years. So generally speaking, when the economy is very good, if it's easy to borrow money, then there would be very few opportunities in the distressed space. And we think distressed, and you'll see that later, will be one of the areas that could be very, very interesting going forward. Global macro, this is really the style that creates the most misconceptions, or in a way, we're really still suffering from global macro from 16 years ago, because it was 16 years ago that George Soros pushed the British pound out of the European Monetary Union, and George Soros followed the global macro style. So 15, 20 years ago, global macro was all about analyzing the macroeconomic developments around the world, and then taking really, really big concentrated positions and then trying to make a big payoff. What has remained the same is the investment approach. I think still these managers have a very flexible investment approach in terms of having a global universe. They really can move in and out of any asset class that is out there. But what has changed quite dramatically is that the risk management has become much, much more pronounced. And in turn, the returns have also come down quite a bit compared to the early days of the hedge fund industry. Equity hedge, very simple. It's probably the most simple strategy. It's simply stock picking. So you choose winners on the long side and you short losers on the short side. It sounds very, very simple. I've been covering equity hedge managers for 10 years. I can tell you what sounds very simple on paper is not always the easiest strategy to manage. So still, even in this area, it's very, very challenging. And I think the freedom that the equity hedge managers have in general, or the big advantage that they have compared to traditional long-only mandates, is that these managers can really move away quite substantially from a benchmark. So with the longs and the shorts, they're not really constrained by any benchmarks. They're very good at recognizing changes, incremental changes that have not been picked up by traditional investors or by the traditional research departments from the investment banks. And one of the greatest examples of that, I always like to point out, while I was living in the US, I noticed in the years 2002, 2003, hedge funds picked up shares of Apple very, very early. So they recognized the turnaround of Apple very, very early, and then the rest, you know, for the following 2 or 3 years, it was really all about riding the continuous upgrades that the analysts provided from the sell side. Lastly, managed futures. Managed futures is a very interesting hedge fund style. It's also a very controversial hedge fund style. Not many fund of funds or not many investors do work with this style. Clearly, managed futures has generated some very attractive returns over long periods of time, but it also comes at the price of very high volatility. So the Sharpe ratio tends to be relatively low, and that's why there's a lot of debates whether managed futures can actually add value to the portfolio or not. I think as we go through the presentation, you'll find out much more whether actually managed futures do add value to the portfolio or not. So here we do look at the long-term correlations. Excuse me. We do look at the long-term correlation across the different hedge fund styles. And what we do for that purpose, so you see it on the left-hand side, we use the HFRI indices. So these are hedge fund indices provided by a firm called Hedge Fund Research, hence HFRI. And so we compare the different hedge fund indices to each other, and we also compare the hedge fund strategies to the reference portfolio. And I think one thing stands out immediately on the very right-hand side is that managed futures is actually the style that has very low correlation or even negative correlation to most of the hedge fund styles. And it also has a negative correlation to the reference portfolio. So that's definitely something that stands out very clearly. If you look at macro next to it, also tends to have relatively low correlation to the reference portfolio and also to the other styles. And in the other areas, event-driven, relative value, equity hedge, the correlation seemed to be a little bit higher. Here we have a somewhat complicated slide, but what we like to show you here is the dynamic nature of the correlations of each of the different hedge fund styles. So what you have, the gray shade in the background, is really the performance of the reference portfolio. So you see the period in the late 90s was a very good period for the reference portfolio, and then from the year 2001, performance started to turn down and recovered later again from the year 2004, 2005. And lately, of course, it's been a more difficult period again. A couple of things that really stand out on this slide. One is very clear, the line very much at the bottom again is managed futures. It shows how managed futures are very negatively correlated to the reference portfolio most of the time. But there is also times when the managed futures style is positively correlated to the reference portfolio. And that really shows probably to the most extreme degree that one of the added values of hedge fund strategies is really the time-varying correlation. So hedge funds can go short, they can be long, but they really go there where the opportunities are, where they see an opportunity to make profits, and hence the correlations of hedge funds tends to vary, or of the different hedge fund styles tends to vary very, very much. You see the second line from the bottom, you can see that very well in the 2003 period. That's the global macro style, also a very actively traded style. And this global macro style is also showing very nice correlation attributes over, especially in bear market periods. But on the other end of the extreme, we have the styles of equity hedged and event driven. What we know from studies looking in the past, we know that these two styles tend to have most of equity exposure, so they tend to have a long bias towards equity strategies. And from that point of view, it's not surprising that they have a relatively high correlation to the Australian reference portfolio, but it's a high and stable correlation. And I guess it's due to the fact that the Australian portfolio also has a very high allocation to equities in general. The last thing I would like to point out on this slide is during the last part of the bull market, the years 2004, 2005, 2006, one of the things that we really worried about as allocators was really the rising correlation that we saw across all asset classes. And I think what you see very well here is that, yes, hedge funds have moved during those bull market years. They have moved into areas where there was money to make, and the correlation is very, very high in between the different styles, but also the correlation to the reference portfolio. But what has happened really since last summer, since the environment started to change, is that the correlations have started to converge again. So again, from the indications that we get, it is very, very likely that we will move back into a similar picture that we've seen in the last bear market, the years 2000 to 2003. So now, so far we talked about the correlation primarily. The next thing we'd like to do is to really look at the performance of the individual hedge fund styles in difficult market environments. And difficult market environment here is defined as the most difficult months for world equity markets, as defined by MSCI World, that we've seen over the last 10, 15 years or so. And again, so you see the red bars are really the world equity markets. And what stands out, again, very immediately, is the bar that... the house is coming down here. Okay, so we seem to be safe again. What really stands out here, when you look at the equity market shocks that we've seen with the red bar, the other bar that we have all the way on the right-hand side for all these equity market shocks, managed futures pretty much in every month provided a positive performance. So again, this shows very strong evidence that managed futures has very interesting attributes to be added to a portfolio, because they do tend to have negative correlation in bear market environments, and also they, based on this data, they seem to hold up very, very well when we have equity market shocks. Then what we also see, the black bar is equity hedge. So we've seen before that equity hedge as a style tends to have a relatively high correlation to the reference portfolio, and also to a lot of the other styles. But if you look at the market shocks now, we can see that the equity hedge style, on average, still did a very good job in protecting the downside in these market shocks. So August 98 was probably the most difficult environment where equity hedge style lost about half of the long-only equity indices, but in the other market shock events, equity hedge was roughly at a third of the losses of the world equity markets. And then I think the other thing you notice is global macro and relative value are really kind of like in the no man's land. So they seem to be really also providing evidence that they have little correlation in periods of equity market shocks. So now looking at the opposite, looking at the best equity markets that that we've seen, or the best months in the world equity markets that we have seen over the last 15 years or so, there's also evidence that actually most of the hedge fund styles tend to keep the pace of the equity markets to a certain degree. It is only managed futures, again, to a large degree, that stands out as having somewhat of a negative correlation also in periods of very strong equity markets. But the rest of the hedge fund styles really seem to be performing okay. So again, I think this is a very, very important conclusion from the last two slides, that you seem to get very good downside protection across most hedge fund styles. At the same time, you're not giving up very much on the upside. Here, again, a somewhat complicated slide, just to keep you on your toes. What we have in red color is the performance of the world equity market. So again, this red-shaped area is the MSCI World over the last 15 years or so. And what we have done is, with the gray shape, we see the additional performance of the HFRI equity hedged style. So equity hedge over the last 15 years or so has added tremendous value compared to a long only world equity portfolio, and it has done mainly so through protection in bear market environment. So you see in the period from 2000 to 2003, the gray shaded area essentially goes sideways, whereas the red shaded area really goes into a drawdown of something like 40 or 50%. And I think the red line that you have going across the chart, that's the beta that we measure for equity hedge managers over the last 15 years. You can see that the beta that equity hedge managers carry in their portfolios over full equity market cycles really varies to a large degree. So when there's a bull market, the beta in the equity hedge style tends to go up towards 0.5, 0.6, and when we're turning into a bear market environment, then the beta tends to go down and up to a point of 0.2, 0.3. And I think it's really amazing that in essence what this slide is showing is that you achieve double the performance with an equity hedge mandate rather than a long-only equity portfolio, but at the same time you only had half a beta of 0.5 to the equity market on average in this period. So double the performance with half the market exposure, and that's really one of the compelling reasons why to consider the hedge fund strategies. So now fast forward a little bit. I mean, it's all good to talk about the last 20 years, and it's not really relevant for what we're going through right now, maybe to a certain degree. So if you look at the last 12 months since the credit crisis started to unfold, I find it very interesting that we see a very similar picture in terms of the different hedge fund styles. All the styles outperforming the Australian portfolio. And again, managed futures, global macro doing the best. Whereas I think event-driven here is actually the weakest of the styles, but still being down only 2 or 3%, versus the reference portfolio, which looks to be down roughly 10% or so. So what we've seen, what we've observed over long, very long cycles seems to be true also in the shorter term cycles that we're going through right now. I guess with that, I would also like to take the opportunity to give you a little bit of a forward-looking view. We're generally not in the business of predicting markets, but I think we do get a lot of information from hedge fund managers, and I would like just to point out a little bit what we see in the market happening right now, what we potentially think is happening, and how hedge fund strategies could be benefiting from that or suffering from that. If we start on the top left, equity markets, I don't need to tell you what happened the last 12 months. And we actually continue to be quite negative for equities. We think it's going to continue to be a difficult environment for the equity markets worldwide. I think the key factors to watch is really the U.S. housing. We need to find some floor in the U.S. housing market. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult for the U.S. economy and the U.S. equity markets to make a bottom. And the second thing that also needs to be watched very carefully is corporate profits. 2007 marked the year of the highest corporate profit margins, I think, ever in the last 30 or 40 years or so. As we've entered 2008, the analyst estimates were still very optimistic. The estimates for 2008 have come down throughout the year, but what is very paradox is that the estimates for 2009 and 2010 still seem very optimistic. So on that end, still very cautious. I think what is encouraging is that the camp of bears has grown over the last couple of months, but still I think to really find a bottom in equity market, we kind of need a further dramatic market shock or a sell down or really a period of sideways, long period of sideways markets where investors lose interest in the equity asset class in general. But in the current environment, we don't think equities have seen the bottom. In terms of credit risk, that looks much more appropriately priced than 12 or 24 months ago. Again, I think what will be very tricky is that the default rates have started to rise, and I think there will be much more volatility as well in the credit space. And so that is an area that, generally speaking, we'd also be very cautious on. Bottom left corner, volatility. I mean, volatility has been hitting 20-year lows in 06, 07. We've had a little bit of a spike the last 12 months, but still we're way below historical peaks that we've reached during bear markets. And so that's another indication that probably we have not seen the worst. We think we're actually very bullish on volatility, and we think that volatility will go back towards the highs that we've seen in the last bear market. Commodities, we are generally believer that we're in a long-term bull cycle for commodities. Nevertheless, we're probably going to see a 12-month period of weaker commodity prices that has just started to happen last month. I think based on two factors, the U.S. dollar reversal is clearly a negative for commodity prices. A lot of the commodities seem to be priced back on the direction of the U.S. dollar, and we see a period of maybe 12 months where the U.S. dollar is going to rebound quite strongly. The other thing is really that market participants are now fretting about or worried about the impact of a slowing world economy and what that's going to do to commodity prices. But nevertheless, you look at the strong growth potential of emerging markets, I think at some point commodity prices will pick up again. So I think with the coming weakness for the next 12 months in commodities, with weak equity markets, if we think back to the Australian reference portfolio, I think there will be quite some challenges going forward. In terms of what it means for hedge fund styles, we're actually very optimistic for the different hedge fund styles. If we just go quickly through the different hedge fund styles, I mean, in equity hedged, we know there's a big there's some equity beta component that is will continue to hurt as long as the markets go down. But nevertheless, there's more and more capital pushed out of the equity markets, and at some point volatility will slow down, making it a much safer environment for really stock pickers to pick winners and losers in their respective fields. Relative value, We're very optimistic on the medium term. The spreads are very wide now. That's generally what always happens, even in the last crisis in 98 when long-term capital had problems. The spreads typically blow out, so you have much more potential to make money from wider spreads going forward. I think the critical leg there is simply the financing, to make sure that you really watch your managers, that they have the financing in place to stay in those trades, because spreads, even though they're wide now, they might even widen a little bit further. Global macro, we talked about, it's a very flexible style. Managed futures for us has proven to be very, very beneficial the last 12 months. And given the outlook that we have for the markets the coming 12 months, they will continue, should continue to be a very good space. And just lastly, two pictures I would like to show you, two things that you have to focus on as potential opportunities is distressed. I think distressed will have a very interesting cycle over the next 3 to 5 years or so. There's a lot of question marks around the timing. How do you time your entrance in distressed perfectly? But what you see here on the left-hand side is that there's been so much money raised in high-yield debt over the last couple of years. And just taking the statistics that are circled on the right-hand side. So historically speaking, CCC-rated bonds on a cumulative basis, 44% have defaulted within 4 years. And that's really observing a very long stretch of data of about 20 years or so. And it's not even taking into consideration that right now, this time around, things might be different because the capital markets are really shot. The banks are not lending anymore, capital markets are shot. So a lot of these guys have issued high-yield bonds the last couple of years. They will have nowhere to go to, and they will have to default on the on their bonds. And the second thing, or the last thing I would like to point out is in terms of volatility, I mentioned that we're very, very bullish on volatility. One way to extract that is really a convertible arbitrage, and I realized we have a mistake here on this slide. The black line is really the implied volatility of convertible bonds in Asia. So because convertible bonds have an option to convert the bond into stock, they have embedded an embedded option and embedded volatility. And you can see that this embedded volatility has reached a very, very cheap price. It's now roughly priced at about 15%, which historically is very cheap. And the reason why it is so cheap is that there's generally concerns around credit quality of convertible issuers and also generally just the market environment we're seeing. But at the same time, you look at the realized volatility in the Asian stock markets in particular, which is the red line, which have been peaking up to the in the 30-50% range. So there's a huge disconnect between the volatility that we're seeing in the stock markets and also the volatility that you can buy embedded in an instrument such as convertible bonds. And we think that is a gap that sooner or later, as the markets normalize, will be closing again. So that's it from my side. So I think the key message is, yes, hedge funds and fund of funds do add value, and it's primarily through downside protection and also through time-varying correlation, so being long when it pays to be long and being short when it pays to be short. So with that,
thank you, Adrian, for a very interesting talk. Just a reminder that if you want to read more about what Adrian has spoken about, then RFM has written a paper which will be available on the website after the conference, and I would highly recommend it to you. We're going to take some questions now. When you ask your question, I'm going to repeat it because we are recording the session and we want to make sure that all the questions are recorded too. So we will start with David Wright from Zenith Investments, but I'm going to give him the microphone so I don't have to repeat it.
Thanks, Amanda. Adrian, you mentioned the defensive qualities of hedge fund of funds, and I think while it took us a while in Australia to understand that, we've probably finally got there. Having said that, over the last sort of 12, 15, maybe 18 months, as I think one of your charts pointed out, there's been reasonable drawdown. Does that signify to us that hedge fund of funds have quite a long bias? And secondly, if that's the case, is it hard to find dedicated short managers that actually add value?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and I'll answer the last part first. I think one thing that is very amazing is out of the whole universe of about 10,000 hedge fund managers worldwide, there's only about roughly a dozen that we track that do that are in the business of pure short selling. So from that point of view, talk about an inefficiency in the market. So just being purely short has been a very difficult proposition the last 15, 20 years or so. Having said that, I think it was pointed out quite a bit that managed futures have very interesting characteristics. These systematic strategies, very liquid strategies in the future markets, they tend to go very actively short, and they do offset a lot of the long market or long equity bias that seem to be in certain portfolios. I think from our observations, yes, and we've seen that partially on the slide that I've shown, yes, equity strategies do have a little bit of hedge fund strategies do have a little bit of a long equity market bias, primarily in equity hedge and event-driven strategies. And what we do observe over long periods of time, after we go into a different market environment, it does take a little bit of time for these managers to adjust to the new market environment and to actually bring down the market exposures and to bring down the equity beta. So I think that's very classically what we're seeing right now. In 2008, it has been a five-year bull market. It is taking a little bit of time to adjust the portfolios. But again, if you look back at very long series of time, it happened in 94 and happened in 98. And I think the key is that with hedge fund returns, which this year are a little bit in the negative, but we're still in a position to actually, if the environment turns more favorable, to make it back into the black in the remaining months of this year, whereas a lot of the other strategies are so much in the red that they have no chance of getting back to the black.
Any other questions? Yeah?
Considering that time, the length of time that information follows to adjust, what would you consider the optimum allocation, say, the balance of portfolio? Because Australia is still a bit naive when it does come to hedge funds, not understanding how it actually fits into your portfolio. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think the optimal allocation really depends on it's very different for every individual investor, and then you would have to run some quantitative studies what is best for your portfolio. But there's been a previous session here, the speaker showed numbers that in the US, some of the very progressive or the endowments with very progressive investment strategies, they have up to 30% allocation to, actually it's not just purely hedge funds, I think that's in general to alternatives. I think what we feel is if in order to make an impact on your portfolio, you should over time get to an allocation of at least 10%, otherwise it's not going to have a big impact on your portfolio.
And time for one more. Yep.
To fund the
That's a good question. Well, I think here specifically in Australia, you've had a very big, I think a lot of you have a lot of big equity bias. And I mean, it's paid very, very well for the last 15 years. But given that we have seen corporate profit margins peak, given that the economic environment is going to be very different, we actually see an environment where we could see an environment where equity markets, for example, in the U.S., where in 10 years, you would see the S&P at the same on the same level where it is now. So I think in the equity markets, it's going to be much, much harder to make money in the next 5 or 10 years. And I think given you have a very large, most of you have a very large allocation to equities, I would probably take it out of the equity bucket.
If I can just add to that, you've got a variety of hedge fund styles with different performance characteristics. So there are some strategies and combinations that are inherently high return, high volatility, that are much more equity-like in their character. So I think depending on the sort of fund-to-fund you're going into or the structure you're going into, those sorts of strategies would make more sense coming out of equities there are fund of hedge funds that are really structured as being extremely low volatility, more bond-like in their characters. So I think it really comes back, the question really throws back to you, you know, what is the hedge fund investment that you're looking at, and what are the characteristics of it? Because I think it isn't a homogeneous universe. It's a universe that's made up of a lot of very different investment styles with very different characteristics.
We've got to finish the questions now, but if you want to speak to Adrian after the session, I'm sure you'd be very welcome to. Sam's just going to give you some product information for managers.
Wonderful. I'll finish up very, very quickly. Look, my take out of Adrian's talk, you know, is that the nature of this universe is it's a very dynamic one. Hedge funds aren't static. What they do changes, certainly as we saw in that chart with the changing market beta. As market conditions change, you do expect these managers to adjust their positions and take advantage of sort of negative equity markets, likewise in the way that they've taken advantage of positive equity markets. So it's a universe that's made up of a myriad of different managers with different styles. In January this year, we decided to bring out, in addition to the RMIP stable, a fund of hedge funds. So it comes out of RMF. We've launched a product called RMF or Man RMF Dynamic. Effectively, it's a best of product coming out of the RMF stable. So what we're looking to do is take advantage of what we think are the best ideas and leverage those into a concentrated portfolio. So in January, we set up an onshore vehicle that would allow investors to come in with an Australian dollar exposure to RMF Man or Man RMF Dynamic. As I said, it's a concentrated portfolio. It invests in across the five hedge fund styles, but it is quite actively managed. We allow the managers a much greater mandate to move around, so they must be in all the five styles, but that can be a minimum exposure of 5% in any one style, or up to 50%, depending on their view of market conditions and how circumstances are changing. It's quite a concentrated portfolio. It will invest in between 20 and 40 managers, so currently sitting in the high 30s at the moment. We think that level gives us a good trade-off between the alpha that we can obtain through, you know, aggressive manager selection. With a portfolio of about sort of 40 managers, we have the opportunity to invest in a number of more aggressive managers. But on the other side of that trade-off, we're clearly able to manage balanced portfolio risk on the other side of it. In terms of return, RMF Man Dynamic, it's aiming for cash. Target return is cash plus 6%. With a volatility round about the 5% mark. Screen says 5 to 8, but numbers coming out of it have been more around that 5% mark. Research is very much a work in progress. We launched it in January this year. We have a report so far from Zenith. They've given us very kindly a highly recommended. Thank you, David. And there are a number of additional reports that are in train at present. We'll release them as they come through over the next couple of months. I think probably the important question is, well, how's this fund gone? As I said, we set up an Australian dollar share class in January. It is investing in an underlying US dollar fund, which has a track record back to March 2001. So we have the performance for that on screen. I think there's two numbers I'd sort of really want to highlight. Really, the last 12 months, so the one-year numbers, the fund is up some 7.6%. Over that period. If we compare that to the HFRI index, so the hedge fund index for the same period, that was down minus 0.4. So we've done very well relative to our universe. I don't think I need to remind you of how that's gone versus sort of equity markets and property markets. And over the last 3 years, that fund has returned positive 10.9% per annum. And again, versus an HFRI figure of plus 8.1. over the same period. So done very well. And I think just picking up on Adrian's presentation, you know, why has this fund done well through this period? It's coming back to the dynamic nature of this industry. As a house, RMF took a view quite early last year that the credit markets were posing a potential risk. Clearly that risk has eventuated and come through. So within the dynamic portfolio, one of the strategies was to set up some hedges, set up some strategies that would potentially profit if those credit market conditions were to deteriorate, which they have done. So they increased allocations to short sellers. Clearly, they've done well through falling markets. They increased allocations to managers that were effectively short the credit markets and managers that have subsequently moved on to being short financials, and also increased allocation to managers that had exposure to long volatility, or were long volatility. As market conditions deteriorate, you know, as you get negative spikes, clearly volatility spikes, and those sorts of strategies benefit. And lastly, looking to increase exposure to that managed futures trend following area, which has obviously done very well through this. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for coming. I hope the presentation's been informative. If you've got any questions, Adrian, myself, other members of the MAN team are outside in the cafe, so please come and see us. Thank you very much.
Now, we're going to take your votes now. Does everyone have a gizmo? Yep, put up your hand if you don't have a gizmo. There are some hanging on the hands of your chairs. Everyone's got one. You've remembered to put your card in it. Okay. Let's start thinking about how the session was. One, awful. Two, mediocre. Three, good. Four, excellent. If you could vote now. Well done, thanks very much. To finish off, we're going to hear from David Wright from Zenith Investment Partners, who's going to talk about how this presentation could be used in constructing your portfolios.
Thanks again, Amanda. The two questions that came from the audience in terms of allocation in a balanced portfolio and where the allocation comes from in terms of income and growth are the questions that we get all the time as a research house in building portfolios. I think when hedge funds were first introduced in Australia, probably going back 8 or 10 years ago, the catch cry we were hearing was equity-like returns with bond-like volatility. And while hedge fund to fund structures or funds were probably never going to achieve that or never really designed to achieve that, what we've really seen is probably lower than, certainly lower than equity-like returns, but lower than fixed interest type volatility as well. So in our view, hedge fund of funds, and it does vary, as Sam mentioned, based on the concentration and diversification of the hedge fund of fund manager, but it can be used within the defensive component of a portfolio as well. I think the other important issue for you to consider, as Australian investors, most of the hedge fund of fund structures are a feeder fund arrangement that feed into an offshore vehicle, which is usually domiciled in a tax haven. So it's a function of that and also the underlying turnover of the managers within the hedge funds, which can often be very high, that results in Australian investors receiving most of the return by way of income. So that's a very pertinent point when you're considering it for investors. They need to obviously be in the right structure, or a lot of that can be eaten up in tax. What we've also seen too, and it's because of the very low volatility in some of the hedge fund of fund investments, they actually lend themselves pretty well to either being geared into or using a geared version of the vehicle. So in that case, then we wouldn't obviously be advocating use in the defensive component. That would be more in the growth component of the portfolio. So they're pretty versatile, really, as long as you get the sort of the tax aspect right from a structural point of view. Thank you.
Thanks, David, and thanks everyone for attending. It's lunch break now, so we'll look forward to seeing you at another DDF session this afternoon.
Thank you.
Yes. think the number of world talents or the average rating of talents, this first session is much more better.
Yeah, there's a bit of
I've been around the blocks all morning. Just before I came here, I was sitting outside at a cafe.
Good presentation, Andrew.